afternoon, everyone. I'm Mike Carroll, president of the First Friday Club of Greater Akron. On behalf of myself and the First Friday Club board, I would like to welcome you and thank you for coming to our June 2025 program. It's my distinct pleasure to welcome Sister Joanne Coniglia, whose topic will be Teaching for Peace and Justice. Please silence your cell phones so that we can all enjoy today's program. After the presentation, we will have opportunity to present questions for our speaker. After the talk, we'll have a short announcement break to collect the question cards that you can be writing during the speech or right after, and then we'll have a question-answer session. It's now my pleasure to introduce First Friday Club Board Member and Secretary Patty Monrovic, who will offer our opening prayer.
Thank you. Lord, may your goodness and love be present among us today. Come, bless our gathering with unity, hope, and vision. Lord, we pray for unity. Build in us all a deep respect for one another so that your church may be one. Lord, we pray hope. Come, stir your hope within our hearts and renew our faith. May your vision fill our lives as we seek to reveal your love. Lord, we pray for vision. Bless this food that we have shared and those who prepared it. Lord, we pray for blessings. We ask all this in the glorious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Pat.
And the people said amen.
I'd like to welcome Our Lady of the Elms President and First Friday Club Board Member, Deborah Farquhar Jones, who will introduce our speaker.
Thank you very much. So, welcome everyone, and thank you for being here today. Those of you who are regulars at Akron's First Friday have heard me talk about the Dominican Sisters of Akron and the impact they have had on this community. What you may not know is that the first Dominican Sisters arrived in Northeast Ohio more than 100 years ago. In 1893, to be exact. They worked tirelessly educating children, supporting the elderly, tackling environmental farming, in addition to the commitments they have today to address gun control and immigrant relations. There are many, many tasks on their list of things that they want to address. Today's speaker, also a Dominican sister, she came to the organization a little later than 1893. Originally from Warren, Ohio, she graduated from John Carroll University, where she first felt the call to religious life. Her journey to become a Dominican started as she read through vocational materials that listed Sister Rosemary Robinson's name as, "If you are interested, please contact." Sister Joanne Coniglia is a Dominican Sister of Peace and a teacher educator of mathematics education. She serves as a professor at Kent State University, where she brings many years of experience to the field of mathematics education. Her work focuses on equity, access, and innovation in STEM education, particularly for underserved and underrepresented populations. Over the course of her career, she has authored numerous articles, chapters, grants, and has led national and international initiatives to improve math education and teacher preparation. As a Dominican Sister of Peace, Sister Joanne brings a unique perspective, integrating her commitment to justice, peace, and service with her academic background. She is known not only for her scholarship, but for her advocacy for students and teachers alike. I hope you'll join me in welcoming Sister Joanne Coniglia today, speaker.
This is now yours.
Thank you very much, Deborah.
Thank you all for the invitation to speak this afternoon.
And I truly believe that it is a very important topic, not only for teachers, but for everyone. First, a story. Sister Bernie Baltrunic was a prioress of the Dominican Sisters of Peace. Oh, I'm sorry, of Dominican Sisters in Akron, and a missionary in El Salvador for 9 years. Once, when we were living at St. Hilary's together, she said, "Joanne, what does peace and justice work have to do with teaching math?" I was a young sister teaching AP calculus at St. Vincent St. Mary's, and all I could say was, "My teaching of math will hopefully help future professionals in making decisions that will benefit others." 45 years later, I still strongly believe that the role of Catholic schools is to educate future leaders. However, I would like to share with you today a more complete answer that I would give to Sister Bernie, who is, I am sure, in heaven right now listening to this. So Bernie, this presentation is my revised answer. So teaching for peace and justice for me means creating environments where students, teachers, and communities are safe, valued, and able to thrive, and that there is always a mindset of caring for the poor in our world, for the marginalized, and for the care of the earth. We bring this mindset not only to the content we teach, but the way that we teach it. So why is this so important? Nelson Mandela said it best, "Education is the most powerful weapon which you can use to change the world." And according to UNESCO, the United Nations Education, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, education should emphasize the importance of preventing and addressing war, aggression, and all forms of violence and human rights violations, and bring every person and community to understand and assume their responsibilities for maintaining, fostering, and demanding peace. So what do these three countries have in common? Ireland, South Africa, and Rwanda. They all require peace education within their K-12 curriculum. And as you can see, they have all paid their dues. Through a partnership with Kent State University and the University of Rwanda, I went to Rwanda and studied their educational system. During one trip, I visited the Memorial of Remembrance. It has been 31 years since more than 1 million people died within 3 short months. And all was so tragic. This is the memorial to that. But then I entered a room with children, pictures of children. And it was there that I cried. The people of Rwanda, like many other countries, have learned the importance of teaching peace and justice and mandate it within their curriculum. So what can we do in the Diocese of Cleveland, in Akron? There's a requirement in the Diocese of Cleveland that each subject area must be aligned to the curriculum and to Catholic social teaching. Tracy Powers from the Diocese of Cleveland's Curriculum Office shared with me that there is an amazing group, the Catholic Schools for Peace and Justice. You know, in each of our schools, we have campus ministers. They are outstanding, and they form this group. This is Bishop Perez with the students. I love this banner. It says, "Choose life," meaning to stand against abortion, poverty, the death penalty, war, environmental destruction, euthanasia, and injustice. It represents what Cardinal Bernardine said was the consistent ethic of life. So you may wonder, how do you integrate peace and justice into the classroom? When you leave, I have a resource page there filled with ideas that you can take with you if you would like. So let me share with you one example from math, my field. If you can recall, and some of you can, in 1970, some of us may remember the draft lottery. Remember that time? Well, within large bins, small ping pong balls were placed with numbers associated with the day of the year. For example, if you were born on January 4th, your number would be 4. If you were born on December 31st, your number would be 366. Now, one by one, they were removed. They were tossed in. And one by one, they were removed. The order in which they were removed represented the order in which young men would go to Vietnam. Now, if you look at this, it seems like it's totally random. And this is called a scatter plot in statistics. But the University of Chicago's mathematicians, when they looked at it, they said that it was not. That in fact, when they put the balls in, they started with January and stirred them, then they went to February, and the last month was December. And as you can see from the slide, that in December, the very end is lower than the others. They didn't stir it up enough. And so it happened that the young men during 1970's draft went to Vietnam faster or earlier than the others. The following year, they changed it. But even though they knew about it, they still did not change it. I use this graph in my classes, not only to talk about box and whisker plots, but I also want them to know how important it is that statistics and all mathematics can change the world for so many individuals. We discussed the war, and being a faculty member from Kent State, I hope we never forget the tragedy on May 4th. And I hope that the commemoration instills in students a respect for all life. So let's go beyond the content to respect for diversity, empathy, combating disinformation, and service. These are four areas that Maria Ressa, who was a Nobel Peace Prize awardee, has suggested to students at Princeton, her alma mater, are important, are imperative for peace education. First, respecting diversity. At Kent State, they have these wonderful posters throughout the university. And I'm sorry that you cannot see them, but they say the following. At Kent State, they said, "Welcome, dear Black students, your lives matter here. Dear Muslim students, your beliefs deserve to be respected. Dear Latino students, you will not find walls here. Dear female students, men will respect you, we will demand it, and you are supported here. Dear international students, you are welcome here. And in fact, Pope Leo, on his very first message on the balcony of that day that he was elected Pope, he spoke about diversity as a unity which does not cancel out differences, but values the personal history of each person and the social and religious culture of every people. And empathy. I show this video, it's from the Cleveland Clinic, every year. It's only about 4 minutes, and it's on empathy. There are no words spoken, but there are beautiful sentiments, and I absolutely love this. Thank you. third way of teaching peace and justice is from Maria Ressa's Combating Misinformation. She says so beautifully, without facts, we cannot have truth. And without truth, we cannot have trust. She asked teachers to help students to question, to evaluate, to justify, and to always search for the truth. And service. I mention service because, well, first of all, Pope Francis says, those who love do not stand idly by, but serve others. I highlight St. Bernard's Hot Meals program because so many students from the Akron Catholic Schools volunteer there. I'd like them to stand up now. Those of you from St. Bernard's, please, the Hot Meals program, please stand up. They are not only dear friends, but another reason why I asked them to is because not only Tony Smith, Tony, do you want to stand up for just a second? Tony does this. He does the orientation. And whenever he does it for all new volunteers, every Sunday and every Wednesday. And he not only tells them what to do, where to go, how to do it, but I will never forget my orientation 11 years ago. He said, you're not just pouring coffee. You're not just serving a tray to people. We see Christ in their eyes. And we sit and we talk and we listen. It is Christ who we serve. Thanks, Tony. And now I return to Sister Bernie's question. What does peace and justice have to do with teaching math? Everything. Whether we teach calculus or chemistry, literature or life skills, we are shaping the way that young people see the world and their role in it. Teaching for peace and justice is not an extra. It is at the heart of what it means to be a Catholic educator in the Catholic schools. Let us commit to classrooms that model respect, inspire compassion, and challenge injustice. Let us be the kind of teachers who not only impart knowledge, but who help build a more just and a more peaceful world. Thank you.
Please hold up any questions that you might have, and our board members will pick them up or get some more written down. Our next First Friday gathering will be here on Friday, September 5th. Our speaker will be the Most Reverend Edward Malesic, Bishop of Cleveland. Please try to come and join in that program. If you're listening to our podcast on our website, we invite you to join us in person. You can make reservations in three ways. Send a check for $25 to First Friday Club, P.O. Box 13291, Fairlawn 44334. You can call our telephone number 330-535-7668 each month. We prefer that you get those reservations in a week ahead of time if possible. You can sign up on a monthly basis also for multiple programs. And you can go on our website and register and get tickets at Eventbrite. We do have some upcoming programs, one intriguing one all about angels that might you might find interesting. A podcast of all the speakers and this speech today, if you'd like to have friends and family listen to it, is on our website, will be posted within several days. If you aren't on our mailing list or email list, please see one of the board members and give us your information, and we'll be happy to add you. I'd like to recognize anyone who's a first-time attendee. Please raise your hand if this is your first time at First Friday of Advent. There's a lot of you, so how about getting back here? Unfortunately, we don't have any of our students because they're all out of schools, but we normally have all of our local Catholic high schools here, and this would have been a great one for them. And I'd also like to recognize our board members of the First Friday Club, so raise your hand, board members. Now it's time for question and answers. Will here? No, Will's not here. Okay, so it's me. The program brochure is out on the table out front also.
Here's a couple here.
Oh. Only a few questions. You answered it all, sister. Come on back up. What's your greatest hope for the students of this generation?
I hope that the students of this generation become critical thinkers, because when you search for the truth, it is probably one of the most important things that you can do. And then, you know, as Maria Ressa said so beautifully, without facts, you can't have truth. And without truth, there is no trust. And I just truly believe that that's the most important thing. When I've been really very very thankful that Kent State asked me to be a Fulbright companion. So scholars from other countries come to the United States, or they used to, and one of them was from China, and one of them, they were Fulbright scholars, and one was from Nigeria. Both countries are very, you know, under regimes that are very strict. And they both separately wanted to study critical thinking because they believed that that was the way that you can make the most inroads, by asking people. I think also that the Catholic social teaching, we should be so proud of our Catholic bishops and the Catholic social teaching. They do really a wonderful job. And I just think that they really have it right. So I'm really grateful for that.
This seems to not be a problem in grade school, but I found math in high school to be very frightening and confusing experience. What could, should be a way a teacher helps a confused, fearful student with math to keep at it?
Thank you. That's so nice. Math really is a four-letter word, I always say. That to me. Every semester, after I showed that video on empathy, I have my students write a 3x5 card. And I ask them to tell me something that they want me to know that will help me to teach the class better. It's just a simple little thing, but I have to tell you, I get such very interesting responses. One student said, I've saved this course to the very last semester so you can't kick me out. And another said, I am deathly afraid of math. You know. And then another one said, and this was really interesting, he said, I might be late for class because I work three jobs, my parents kicked me out. And then I realized, then that video really makes so much more sense. But at the very beginning of the class, I really try to make sure that I understand, or I at least understand where they're coming from. And I do that throughout the semester. I don't just do it at the beginning or at the end. And I do that, just a 3x5 index card, and it tells me so much. It's totally anonymous. They don't have to put their name on it. It doesn't lower my standards, you know, I hope it doesn't, but at least it makes me much more aware of what to do and how to teach it, maybe differently. I also then take that in consideration with everything that I do in the classroom. So I hope that I answered it.
Okay, here's a tough one. Could you comment on the current situation with DEI at Kent State University?
Yes, we just recently received, the last week of school, we received a letter from our provost saying to examine our syllabi and to exclude anything that would have to do with DEI. And so I did. I do have some things on there, especially for students with disability. Now, I will keep that in for accommodations, but there are some things in there that I included. So I take that out. And many centers for women, for LGBTQ, a number of centers are closed now because of that. And but what I love most is what our president, Todd Dykin, says. He says, we will follow the law. We have to, I mean, financially, and every university does. But he said, we will continue as our mission at Kent State to welcome all students and to be a place where kindness rules. You can see it on every poster in the university that kindness is really a key component of it. So hopefully that will continue. But I do. I feel very sad about that.
Does anybody else have another question before we finish up with those? Again, thank you, sister.
It's okay, Michael. But along those lines, this does not eliminate peaceful protest at Kent State.
No, it does not. And I hope it never will. I hope it never will. And it has always been peaceful. Pete Buttigieg came to Kent State last year at this time. And he came for the aviation, you know, program there because he was Secretary of Transportation. And he said when he came, he said, Kent State learned from the past of how to really be respectful of other views. We have a strong Palestinian presence. We have a strong Israeli presence and Jewish presence. And that's wonderful. You know, I just think it is. That's why I love Kent State, is because of the diversity. And hopefully that will never end.
Again, thank you so much, sister. I'd like to introduce First Friday Club board member Steve Brownfield, who will offer our closing prayer.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, sister. Very good talk. Let us pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, light of our hearts, guide us. Show us the way to help those who you place before us. We want to live according to your will and become more like you. Please grant us the gift of healing in your name. Lord, we are willing. Our hearts surrender to you, and we want to live as you wish us to live. We want to be a blessing to those around us, helpers to those in need, healers for those in pain, through the power of your name. Without you, we are weak, but with you, we are strong. In our hope, Heavenly Father, to be of service to you and help those in need, to be servants to all humankind. Guide us, protect us, and show us what you want us to do. We trust you, Father, and believe you have called us for a purpose. Show us what that purpose is, and let us live according to your will. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Again, thank you so much for coming, everyone, and hopefully we'll see many of you back next month or in future months. Check again our website and grab a brochure out front. We are working on programs for next year already and have some good speakers lined up for the future. So please keep us in your list of things to do. Have a safe trip home. Thank you.